Second down and 7. Pressure coming. Watson stays on his feet, now goes down. Miles Jack and Leon Jacobs. Watson rolling right. Watson takes it upfield, cuts back. Can he get in? He can! Touchdown! What a run by Deshaun Watson! Minshew has time again. Lofts one up. Touchdown! DJ Chark! And the Jags are an extra point away from tying this one up. They run it. Up the middle. Fournette, extra effort. And did he get there? No! Fournette is stopped.
We won the game. So I think everybody, you know, they played hard. They played tough. And, you know, we'll get back to work. We'll try to correct. It's a big division win. I mean, it's a team that has a really good, a lot of good talent. And in Jacksonville, give them a lot of credit. And they played tough, and we won by a point. So I think that's important. We'll get in here. We'll watch the tape, and we'll try to do better next time.
Sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Well, that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about yesterday and Saturday and Friday and all the sports that happened, plus a few other things. Let's do this. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart. I gotta get used to that. Aaron Raybould, the Voldemort, if you want to get in, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, click like, send a message. If Aaron likes it, he'll read it. He's the gatekeeper when it comes to that. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. And if you want to watch us on the Twitch channel, well, you better get in today because we're out and about most of the week, so today and tomorrow are your chances. Just go to Twitch and find ESPN 975, or go to ESPN975.com and find Twitch, and you're good to go. It's a Monday. No moral victories today.
A real live victory, Fred.
Yeah, and
with no, there's no worries. There's not a worry in the world about that
no.
team. I got a guy on Twitter, mother effing me because. So, what did he say exactly? Something about suck on that win or something. Like, I know you didn't want that win. And it's really weird. I think people sometimes, because I don't really care who wins and loses games unless I bet on them. Because to me, I'm looking for a story in the win or the loss, one way or the other. So, if the Texans win or lose, it's easy for me to find an angle to talk about.
Right.
Either way. But it's weird that people get super like I guess people think I hate the Texans.
And no, you just hate all Houston sports teams. It's not just
that's what everybody thinks.
Yeah.
But it's here it is. Sorry, MF. Texans, take that W. I know you're disappointed. No, not really. I mean, because guess what? Even with the win, we still got plenty to talk about, and that's all I really care about. And I think that, I mean, listen, you're right in a way that the most important thing is winning the game, and the Texans won the game. But there are definitely some red flags that we've seen over the last 2 weeks, and maybe this week even more than last week, because last week it was mostly my bigger issue was the defense. This week I would say maybe it's the offense, although 2-minute defense I think continues to be really, really dreadful. But I don't know what this win will look like 6 weeks from now. I don't know what this win will look like when we're in London for the second Jacksonville game. I don't know if we'll look at the Jags and say, that's a solid win. Or we'll say, whoa, they barely beat that team? Because I think the Jags are very, I mean, they're a very high variance team because their defense is going to keep them in a lot of games and their offense is going to keep them out of a lot of games. And
they might have something with that quarterback, though. I mean, he's
in spurts.
Yeah.
I don't know that you can rely on him, you know.
If he can improve, the one thing I like about him, he doesn't seem to give a bleep.
No, and he's very accurate.
Yeah.
I mean, he's there's definitely some things to like with Minshew, but. I still don't understand. You may need to redo your head coach rankings, because not that Bill O'Brien did anything to warrant moving up in the ranks, but your twin brother is a dum-dum. Like I said before they even scored the touchdown, you got to go for two here. You know, if you score this touchdown, you got to go for two because you're on the road. You got a rookie quarterback. Basically everything's lined up against you. Just go for the win. And they did that. They did the right thing and went for the win. That was about the crummiest play call I could have drawn up. You drove the whole field on the hot hand of Gardner Minshew. Drove the whole field. Scored a touchdown. Putting it in his hands. And then you go for your two-point conversion, immediately take it out of his hands. I just thought that was very questionable and very dumb, quite frankly.
I love the call to go for two. I wasn't crazy about the play call, although I understand putting the ball in your best player's hands. But they had stuffed him the entire game. And realistically,
he wasn't your best player yesterday.
He wasn't your best player yesterday. And frankly, they stopped him on that fourth down earlier in the drive.
Yeah, game could have been over then.
It should have been over. That was a bad spot. And then you couldn't tell from the review. So, you know, I don't know why you thought that, okay. And if you're going to give it to him, get him in some space.
Yeah.
I mean, just right up the middle like that, where that's the one place that Texans defense did a really good job. And, well, not the one place. I think they played pretty well yesterday with a couple of exceptions. But yeah, I love the call to go for it. I'm going to give O'Brien credit for going for it on fourth and one from the 2 yard line, and that led to the touchdown by Deshaun Watson. I thought that was a good call. And I thought I love the play call. Put the ball in his hands, let him get outside. And if he didn't score a touchdown, he was getting the first down there. So, you know, from those perspectives, I thought there was some really ballsy calling. Now the thing that kind of put me off was, I want to save this for next segment, because I want to dive into this a little more about Bill O'Brien's clock management at the end of the first half and his response to being asked about it. But the thing that kind of struck me about this game is Watson wasn't nearly – well, and here's something else. I expected a little bit of a letdown coming off a Monday night opener against Saints like that. Almost every time that happens.
It's hard to see a letdown spot in your home opener, though.
Yeah, but it's also – I mean, you come off that kind of an emotional game – with the swings on a short week, it's only natural. And plus, it's a familiar opponent. It's somebody, you know. I'm not surprised that it was kind of a lackluster performance. I do feel like offensively, there were some plays that they didn't make because of penalties. I mean, I think the Howard penalty on the third and nine was just a dumb penalty, and they had some others like that. But so did the Jaguars.
I like how they tried to sell it off as like maybe it was an accident.
Oh, stop.
That wasn't an accident.
And the sad thing is it didn't impact the play. The ball was gone.
Yeah.
But I think the Jaguars also had some plays like that where they made big plays on offense and there was a holding call or an offensive pass interference. And it was just really sloppily played, I think, by both teams. And I kind of felt like it got uglied up into Jaguar football, which is how the Jaguars want to play. And especially with a rookie quarterback. But having said all that, you left some points out there, and I think some of it was due to coaching, and I think some of it was due to the fact that Deshaun had an off game. And I'll go back to something you said last week. You mentioned that his worst numbers had come in his games against the Jaguars.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what happened. So I don't know if they defensively they do a better job against these guys than most. Wouldn't surprise me if that's the case. But I was a little bit disappointed that they didn't have more offensive output, considering that there was no A.J. Bouye. They were missing one of their best pass rushers. Yeah,
Well, I think what they did wisely was they, I mean, you saw the way they lined up. They figured since there was no AJ Bouye that they would just go with empty sets and they would try to torch the Jags that way. But the Jags just, they had a really blitz heavy defensive scheme and Deshaun didn't deal well with it. I mean, there's really not another way to put it.
Is right.
That Deshaun didn't deal well with that pressure. Luckily for the Texans, I mean, I still don't think this is me probably throwing water on something that's a positive. I hate to do that right now, but Carlos Hyde had a great game. He had a great game last week. I still don't think Carlos Hyde's a very good football player, but right now he's working. It's working for the Texans. It looks like they found something with that guy, and they needed it desperately. So I think luckily for the Texans, they ran the ball really well yesterday. Because Deshaun wasn't getting that done yesterday. And that's, I told you this morning when we were just talking in, during our one of the management meetings, that we've always said whoever, you know, who did the, should the Tex, if they had the Texans taken Patrick Mahomes, who would you rather have, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson? And we've always said, I like the guy that's with Andy Reid, whichever one it would have been. I think maybe I'm changing my mind and just Patrick Mahomes is just better than Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, but
because Deshaun Watson doesn't struggle like
but that's,
that.
That's never going to be a fair conversation because they didn't have an option to take Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
So,
but I mean, it is a which, but because they were drafted so close, there's always, they're always going to be compared to each other. Which one would you rather take?
No, right now, I don't think you can compare anybody to Patrick Mahomes.
I don't think so either.
So,
and I think Deshaun still has the potential to be a great quarterback. It's almost like Sam Darnold. Like, we're still looking at what he can be and thinking that he's already there. And obviously, Deshaun's shown way more than Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I think you're putting a little...
But I'm just saying...
That's not really a fair
assessment. I'm just saying where we think of Deshaun Watson in our minds, how great he is... I think maybe he's still approaching that, and he's not quite there that we're going to get it consistently week in and week out.
Well, even the best, you're not getting it week in, week out. Everybody's going to have off games. I mean, I go back to the Saints game, and everybody's praising him as a demigod. I mean, I think over time, especially against a team that he's struggled with, that happens. But he didn't turn the ball over yesterday. That
was nice.
To me, if you're going to play a bad football game, if you don't turn the ball over, that's a bonus. And I also think that he had a couple of drops. I mean, there were a lot of things that could have changed that. It made his stat lines look a lot better than they were. But, I mean, you're going to have games like that. And I don't think the play calls helped him either. I think there were – why they don't run screen passes on this team, just I don't know. There were some slants. There were some things they should have done, easy passes to keep the chains moving that they didn't. And they keep putting him in third and long, and he keeps finding ways to get it. But that shouldn't be what you're doing. But
you can't count on that long term.
No. Tell you what you can count on. If you're losing your hair and you want to get it fixed, Dr. Linville, let me tell you, man, I'm already seeing a big difference from it. And this isn't hair plugs. This isn't one of those things where you have a big scar. No, they basically, it's a neograft procedure. What they do is they take the hairs off the back of your head and they put them wherever you need them. And in my case, in the front. It can even redraw your hairline. And believe me, it makes a huge difference. It looks natural. It's your hair, and it's basically just the hair from the back of your head. And Dr. Linville is terrific. I was at that point where it's like, okay, I just either need to shave this and give up or get something done. And I was about to just give up. Dr. Linville says, hey, no, this is what we do. And after spending 5 minutes with him, he had it done himself. It makes all the difference in the world. I believe in him. And guess what? If you're on the fence like I was, you got a couple more weeks here to get a free consultation. Just go to 975hair.com. Consultation's free. You can find out what he's all about. Find out what he can do for you. 975hair.com. Just for ESPN listeners. Free consults for the rest of September. Get your hair back.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Boy, some of you guys, and A.J., you do this too, one-week reactions. Thank you for saying it, A.J. Watson plays with raw talent. He's not cerebral. He doesn't adjust to situations. Year three, and he still hasn't progressed. Okay, where were you last week? I mean, come on.
I'm not trying to make an overreaction.
Well, you put Sam Darnold on him one game.
I'm not. That's why I said obviously Watson's further along in his development than Sam Darnold. But I'm talking about players who we hype them up to be at a certain level, and they're not quite. Baker Mayfield's another one. Is Baker Mayfield, does that feel better for you?
Well, because I don't know. I've never hyped Baker Mayfield. I've been suspect of Baker Mayfield.
I'm saying he's by the media, by fans, has been hyped to a certain level that I don't think it's fair to have the expectations that he meet that standard, because it's almost too much too soon. And I think I can say the same thing about Watson. I still see flashes, but if you're trying to tell me Watson is now in the elite category of quarterbacks, I can't even fathom that.
Well, I think you're going to have to rethink what your elite tier is. And Aaron Rodgers is one of the best ever play. He hasn't looked good for 2 weeks.
Right.
And yeah, you know, I think this group here of Mahomes, you may have to throw Dak in there now because he's obviously taking a big step forward. Lamar Jackson, and I think Watson belongs in that group. That's kind of your next. And then Goff and Wentz, too, I think. You got a lot of young quarterbacks that I think are in that realm where they can go on and be really big stars for a long time, or they can wind up kind of getting stuck in the mud like Mariota is, like Jameis Winston is.
Yeah.
And I think you may have that with a Mitch Trubisky or somebody like that. By the way, that was one of the worst calls ever at the end of that game.
It was really brutal.
But and we'll get to that. But I think that's still to be determined. And except for, I think, in Mahomes' case, it's pretty obvious what he is.
Yeah, it's undeniable at this point. And I was a non-believer. I didn't believe that someone from that offense could really, you know, be that good in the NFL. And I, you know, Goff to an extent kind of proved me wrong. Mahomes, that's a different animal. He basically said, no, you can do it now.
And I think
that offense will work.
And we talked about, although there has to be some regression in year two. Now, it's only two games in because, you know, they have a full year of tape on him. He hasn't regressed. Four touchdowns in a quarter.
Yeah.
You kidding me? Which I liked because that was my best bet of the NFL Sunday was the Chiefs, and you guys were all making fun of me for that.
Now, how did you feel when it was 10-0? Were you going, oh, damn?
I wasn't worried.
Not even a little bit? Given 7 points? And
nope.
Okay.
Nope, because I don't panic in the first quarter of a game. That's why I don't. That's why when people tweet me stuff like that, oh, that pick looks terrible. So, yeah, get back to me in the fourth quarter. You play four quarters in this thing. And it's I never. That's why I never even. I don't celebrate a first quarter, and I don't panic in the first quarter and think I've lost. It's like I knew Kansas City was light years better than that team, and it was just a matter of time until they got the offense going, and guess what? And you know, they could have won that game by a lot more than what they did. But that team's impressive as hell. But to get back to your beloved Texans, I mean, I think this is one of those weeks where those of you who like to rip on Deshaun Watson, this is what you're going to point to.
Yeah.
And
well, it's one of those weeks where if you want to rip on Bill O'Brien, you can.
Well, there's a lot to rip on him for. And I think
that's most weeks, though.
Well, but the most frustrating thing for me, 6 years in, and he still has no clue about clock management. We were talking about this morning, too. I still think Mac Brown may be the best I've ever seen at managing a team in the last 2 minutes of a half. He always would get points. And no matter when they got the ball, they'd find a way to get points. They always managed the clock beautifully.
For the NFL, I think John Harbaugh is the gold standard to me.
John Harbaugh is pretty good at it. I'm trying to think who else is. But yeah, I think he might be the best in the NFL. But the reality is you can win and lose games right there. Texans could have won that game with a touchdown right there.
Could have.
And And to listen to his explanation afterward.
Do you have that? Do you have the sound of Bill O'Brien after the game and when he says, well, that was our plan the whole time? And the guy's like, what, your plan was to go get a field goal? He's like, no, our plan was to get a touchdown.
Okay.
Who asked him that?
I'm guessing it might be Brian T. Smith because he's the one who wrote the column today about
it. It's so funny because it did sound like, yeah, our plan all along was to go down and kick a field goal. And then he's like, really? That was your plan? And he's like, no, I mean, obviously our plan was to score a touchdown.
But then he asked him, did you think about calling a timeout? And the answer?
No.
We had two plays. What? That's what concerns. Well,
I don't know if you know this, Fred. There's a new rule in the NFL. For every timeout you take to the end of a half, every timeout you've got left in your pocket, you save those up. And at the end of the season, whoever has the most, that's a tiebreaker for playoff scenarios.
Really?
Yeah. So if you're tied with another team for a playoff spot, the more timeouts you've saved will get you into the playoffs. So Bill O'Brien just knows, man, listen, it's going to be a tight race.
See,
and he's saving up those timeouts. I want the question and the answer.
There's about three questions there.
So, yeah, you just play the whole thing.
Yeah, just play the whole thing. Before you get to that, though, here's part of my concern with all this. It's inconsistent week to week. Last week he burns two timeouts. It doesn't mean anything. But this week you're sitting here and you're acting like it just at least say, you know what? We had him in a personnel group that we didn't want to get out of. We just needed to be faster. I could accept that, but at some point. You're not trying to score a touchdown there. If you're not, and there's no sense of urgency, and it's the same bleep we've seen from them for 6 years.
Can I tell you what I believe it is? I think they just didn't want to leave any time on the clock for Jacksonville. I think they're that concerned about their 2-minute warning, their 2-minute defense.
Then tell me that. I'd be okay.
They're not
going
to admit that, though. They're not going to admit that they're scared to have their defense on late in a half.
Well, I mean, if it's a reaction to last week, by the way, that's not Drew Brees.
No.
And, well, there's no Drew Brees anymore.
But did you see, I mean, Gardner Minshew ran the 2-minute offense pretty well to the end of the game.
Yeah, but it was 2 minutes. It wasn't the 30 seconds either. So I just, they hadn't done anything to that point, though. That's the thing. If that's really the case, then that's just dumb. But let's speaking of dumb, let's play what he said.
We had a couple plays there that we wanted to call. We called all three or four of them, I think. And, you know, we felt like we were in good shape there to have a chance to score a touchdown there on the catch by Kenny. Down at the 2-yard line, and he was a little short of where we thought maybe he would be. So we felt we had another good play there, good low red area play. Just didn't get the right coverage there, and made the decision to kick the field goal.
Bill, did you guys have to kick a field goal right there because you ran out of time?
No. I think that was the strategy of the whole drive.
The strategy on the drive was to kick a field goal?
Score a touchdown. We felt like we were in good shape there to score a touchdown, and then at the end we didn't get the touchdown, so I decided with 2 seconds left to kick a field goal.
You guys
could have gone for it there and decided to kick the field goal.
Should you have taken a timeout early in that drive?
No, we had two plays there and just took a little time getting lined up on the two plays, but no, we don't. I think you're talking about Hopkins' catch, and then after that, you know, yeah, we could have taken a timeout, but we had two plays. Took a little longer to get lined up than we thought, and we'll work on that this week.
What? Yeah, we could have taken a timeout, but we had two plays. They ran 34 seconds off. I counted it off after that play.
It's so odd to me.
And again, there's no sense of urgency. And the whole thing about we'll get it fixed, you haven't fixed it for 6 years. This has been a consistent problem ever since you became head coach. And there's a lot of guys who are good head coaches that suck at this.
My Tomlin is, like, to me, one of the worst. And yeah. I've been saying that for a long time.
And Andy Reid, too. And Andy, I think Andy Reid's great. But, yeah, those are – it's just at some point and nowhere in there – is he questioning what they did? Where he said, well, okay, maybe we should have
done this. Or admitting that he made a mistake.
Yeah, which, okay, I'm fine if you don't admit you made a mistake, but at least admit that it's something you should have thought about. But the fact that you didn't, that's the scary part. Because guess what? If they get in the same situation next week, what do you think is going to happen?
The problem is with Bill O'Brien, and I think smart guys are, well, you know what, I'll talk about it on the other side of the break. I got to tell you about my computer career. If you are currently not thrilled with the job that you're in, you're not alone. There's a lot of people like that. And right now, 51% are satisfied with their jobs right now. That's the highest it's been in a long time. That's barely half.
That means if you're in that 49% who you're unhappy driving to work every day, you can do something about it. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Go to mycomputercareer.edu, take their free career evaluation today, and get started on that path. Don't have computer experience or training? They don't care. Helping people start from scratch, that's what they do. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career. You'll attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week, and you're going to get everything you need to start your new career in IT. And it's more than a school because they help you get into the industry after you graduate because they work with hundreds of employers that hire their students. They're nationally accredited. Financial aid is available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill for my fellow vets. Classes start up soon, guys. Go take that free career evaluation today. MyComputerCareer.edu. That's MyComputerCareer.edu.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. All right, you wanted to talk about smart people. I'm interested now.
Okay. I don't know if this is about smart people, but I think it's about people who have a certain personality trait, and I'll let you decide what that personality trait is. But in a way, does Bill O'Brien remind you of Donald Trump in that if he's questioned about something, he's never going to admit that he was wrong. He's going to deflect to make it seem like it's a good thing, or this is what he wanted, or it's somehow someone else's fault or responsibility, and it's going to be fine at the end of the day. It's not a big deal. But never does he say, you know what? Yeah, I blew that. I really messed up in this situation. I don't know. I don't know what
the, just tweeted or texted the exact same thing.
I don't know what the word is. It's almost like a
Trumpy. He calls it Trumpy.
It is kind of Trumpy. It's almost like he's above questioning from us plebs. Like,
oh, it's not almost like it. It is like that.
Yeah, it's a
it's a superiority complex.
It really is, and it's like, how dare you even question? I mean, it's very odd to me that, and I mean, you know, it's one thing you're the president of the United States. I guess you've at least got that accomplished.
I think Trump has a better record than Bill O'Brien.
He might.
I'm not going to.
Trump certainly got better clock management.
Don't really appreciate you putting that on him, by the way. Hashtag fake news. But, the thing that I just get nuts about is that he obviously. Well, I'm not going to say that he never admits that he's wrong. He just says.
If he admits he's wrong. He's like, oh, that's on me. I got to coach better.
That's not admitting anything.
That's deflecting away from about it.
He never discusses specifics other than say, we got to coach that better.
Yeah.
And we got to execute that better. That's about it. That's all you're going to get.
And you know what? I'll be honest. Games like yesterday. Those seem like the best time to do it, because you can say, you know what? Yeah, I really blew it there. I should have called a timeout in that situation. We wasted a lot of time. But you know what? At the end of the day, I'm glad we were able to get the win. When you lose, it's obviously more difficult to swallow that pill. It's more difficult to stand there and take that criticism on your own shoulders. This is an opportunity where you can look back and say, hey, yes, this and this can improve. I made some mistakes here and here. I'm going to learn from them. I'm just glad we got out of here with a win. To me, these are the games where this is the best case scenario to own those mistakes. He just refuses to do it.
Yeah, I think that's part of the problem, though, is that
GR says it's narcissism. That might be the word that I'm looking for the most. Yeah. Like, there's got to be like a scale of that, and I would imagine that Bill O'Brien and the president are in this, at least in the same tier.
Bill O'Brien has more power than the president.
I mean,
in his organization.
Yeah. That whole checks and balances thing that that runs our federal government, that doesn't apply to the Texans.
Yeah, and that's to me is the problem that has always existed since he's been here, and I've said it a million times, and I feel like I've written this a million times, that he's always going to be limited as a coach if he's got complete control of things. And, you know, why not hire somebody? I don't care who you hire, but somebody who can be there on the, you know, on the headset saying, hey, get a timeout, coach, that understands game management, that especially at the end of the half, because there's so many things that so many times games are decided.
But that's
there.
Putting power in someone else's hands. And that's what I don't understand, because typically I would think, you know, if you're the kind of person who isn't going to answer for your flaws, you'd want that power in someone else's hands. So you can say, you know what, I didn't get that buzz. No one told me. Like, clock management is something that I've got a coach specifically for that. And, you know, we had a miscommunication on that. Something. Anything that says, you know what, that's not how, if I could go back in time and do it again, I wouldn't have done that. But I've never gotten the vibe that Bill O'Brien is willing to say that. Now, do I think that Bill O'Brien knows that? And if Bill O'Brien could go back in time, would he do it differently? Yeah, I think he would. But every once in a while,
I don't think he would. He's been doing it the same way for 6 years. Why would he change? You're giving him too much credit. He's had every opportunity. Somebody asked, name me a good football coach who says he's wrong or screws up. Did you see what Bruce Arians said after the game Thursday night that when they won? It's exactly what you were saying, where they made the mistake with the back-to-back timeouts.
Yeah.
And wound up getting a penalty that damn near cost him the game. He came out and said that. So that was a bad mistake on our part. We got to know better than that. And we're just lucky the team bailed us out.
And that's two-time coach of the year, Bruce Arians,
yeah.
I think.
Is he a good coach? I'm just asking.
That's a he's got some Super Bowls and stuff.
So, yeah. 832 says, next thing you know, Bob is going to tell us how complex his ideas are and only his big, smart brain can handle these ideas. Says, I'm a diehard Texans fan and found myself rooting for the Jags to get the two-point conversion and win.
Boy, really?
Yeah, I don't think you're a diehard Texans fan anymore.
Diehard seems like
I think you're a fed-up-with-O'Brien fan, but guess what? They lose that game, he's still not fired. You guys can just stop with that. It's not going to happen. Kelly and Clear Lake with the I award you no points and may God have mercy on your soul for that answer from O'Brien. Yeah, I honestly, man, it's to me, the whole end of game situation doesn't happen if you do it right there. And I mean, if you get, and they may not have scored the touchdown, but give yourself the chance. And those points wound up being the difference in the game, but 7 points changes the whole thing.
Yeah.
And that's, it's so many things during the course of a game that can change the whole thing. Like, for instance, and this was more of a Texas defender got on Minshew and he overthrew Leonard Fournette, but if he hits Leonard Fournette with that ball, he may be gone. And again, I think that was a good defensive play to force him to get rid of it too fast.
Right.
But little things like that during the course of a game can change everything. And if you get 7 there, then that changes what the Jags try to do. Maybe he's dropping back more. Maybe you get another strip sack. I don't know. But in the end, I think it worked out. And that's the problem. Wins can mask mistakes. And we know Bill O'Brien is going to make mistakes when it comes to, when it comes to clock management. It's just always going to happen. But it's frustrating because you know it. So, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Says, how do you not know that game management? You heard the whole crowd and maybe me screaming at the TV.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wasn't at the game. Was the crowd screaming too?
I didn't.
Because honestly, it's just, if you're watching that, it's the whole do-do-do-do-do, we got all day. We're just going to wander down the field. At least, you know, if you want to keep the personnel the same, at least get up there and spike the ball or something.
Right.
But you got two timeouts in your pocket. And I think those were valid questions he was asked at the press conference. And he didn't have an answer for him other than, why on earth would you question that?
Yeah, like make he made I don't know who the reporter was, but he made it seem like he was the dummy for even thinking that out loud.
Well, yeah, and then he's on about basically Dustin says, "Fellas, can we please move on from the O'Brien talk? This is approaching the just Dustin, shut up and come back at 5 o'clock. We'll do your Cowboys, okay? Hate to break it to you, but you know, believe me, I don't want to be talking about Bill O'Brien's stupid clock management every single freaking game. I don't. But guess what? Yeah, that and yeah, you could say, oh, we won. That covers everything. No, it doesn't. And at some point, Romeo Crennel needs to figure out what to do in the last minute of a half and a game with his defense. And I kind of get why they played the way they did yesterday, because when we talked about this against the Saints, he was playing back and waiting for them to make a mistake. Well, Drew Brees doesn't make mistakes except breaking his thumbnail. And it worked for most of the game with Gardner Minshew because he's a rookie. And and then he started figuring things out. And I do think that that's not going to work late game situations. And I don't want to beat him up too much because I do believe they got screwed on that fourth down call. I think Fournette was short. I thought the spot was bad, and then there wasn't enough to overturn it. But, and if that happens, then we're not talking about any of it.
Yeah.
But it does happen, and that's part of the game. All right. 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. 713-780-3776. I have to tell you about Allied Outdoor Solutions. And how about these guys can do pretty much anything you need done with your fading pool deck, your grayed out patio, your outdated driveway. They can get you that carved stone overlay. And they can also help with outdoor kitchens, patio covers, new pool construction, and much, much more. And the carved stones are really awesome. It gives you the superior look of real stone on your existing surface for less money. Very durable, 2 times stronger than concrete. And how about this? Financing. You have several monthly payment options. They even offer 0% financing for up to 18 months. And everybody has great things to say about Allied Outdoors. They're a credit member of the Better Business Bureau since 2009. They've even got an A+ rating. And save yourself the hassle expense of tearing everything out and starting over. To get that carved stone overlay for the look and feel of real stone for less from Allied Outdoor Solutions today. Stop by the Allied Outdoor Solutions showroom on I-10 in the Beltway or check out the Carved Stone Projects photo gallery at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com or call for a risk-free estimate at 713-465-0400, 713-465-0400.
Is the Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Mine with a pretty good question here. If we were to tune into Jacksonville Talk Radio, how bad is O'Brien brother Marone getting roasted for not challenging the Hopkins catch? Got to be honest. I think he should have challenged it, and I know it set Ramsey off, who acted like a total dickweed. But, man, I watching those replays, I couldn't tell. I didn't see the ball hit the ground. I saw it bouncing around, but you couldn't tell for sure it hit the ground. So, yeah, and I know that whoever they're ref guy, and boy, we'll spend some time on the refs around the NFL today because they were, in general, a really crappy performance again. And
I'll be honest, this PI challenging thing is making things worse. It's not fixing anything. It's making it worse. Because I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen very often that they throw a flag and then they go back and say, yeah, that's not really PI. But I think it's going to happen a lot that someone challenges that there should have been PI called, and there will be. Because let's face it, you can call PI on almost every play at some point. I mean, unless it's just a complete clean breakaway by the receiver. But there's hand fighting, and there's little ticky-tack stuff that it's like,
Dude, really?
Yeah, but I think you're only going to call blatant ones. And
not once they get reviewed.
No, I mean, I haven't seen enough of them where that's happened.
And then there are some blatant ones. Antonio Brown had a blatant push-off, and they were like, nah, we're going to stick with what we said. I don't know. I don't know if it's, you know, because you always said that the CFL had this and it worked well.
Yeah, it does work well.
I don't think it's working so far in the NFL. There needs to be some kind of consistency.
No, and if you're asking for consistency from NFL refs, you're barking up the wrong tree.
With replay? Jeez.
Well, but again, it is interference is still a judgment call, and if it's a blatant foul that caused him to miss the ball or not have a chance at the ball, then yes, you should call it. Those calls should be made. If it's iffy, just like anything else, you don't overturn it.
Yeah.
Now, but you need those guys making that standard to be consistent. And, you know, that's the other part of the problem is that I think there's not a clear interpretation of what it should be. To me, that's what it is right there. If we review it and Aaron's on a pass pattern and you hit him and took his arms down and kept him from getting to the ball and giving him a chance to make a catch that he probably would have made, yes, it's interference. If you guys just bumped a little bit and it's iffy, no, that's simple. It's simple. Did it change the play, the outcome of the play?
The problem is if somebody just gets bumped a little bit and a flag gets thrown and you challenge and say, was this really PI? And you've got to have clear and obvious evidence that it wasn't, you're never going to have that.
But that's okay. I mean, that's, it should always defer to the call on the field. I mean, that's what replay is always supposed to be, unless there is clear video evidence to overturn it. So I have no problem with that.
I mean, the problem with deferring to the call on the field, I mean, that Saints-Rams game where they...
But that was blatant and obvious on replay.
Yeah. And there's nothing they could do about it because they had to...
Well, there was no replay then. But right. Now that play is exactly... I mean, that's what it was designed for. Let's squeeze in one call. Alex, go.
Hello?
You're on, go.
Sports.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I just wanted to say it was a good comparison that y'all did with using Trump as a narrative with O'Brien. If we could impeach O'Brien, that would be great. But honestly, in my opinion, I think he's overstated his welcome, but possibly I wouldn't mind seeing Kubiak coming back. If that were ever a possibility, you know, nowadays I'm not sure where he stands in his career as a coach, but I would like to see Kubiak take another stab at it.
Guys, you're not getting rid of Bill O'Brien. He's in charge of the whole operation now. And would it be great? Would I do that in a heartbeat? Yeah. I don't know if Kubiak's healthy enough to be a head coach again. That's why he's pretty happy.
He's got like a barely job.
Yeah.
That probably pays him some decent money. And the dude's got dough.
Yeah.
So he's not running out.
So, you know, I just think that it's kind of pointless right now to even think about that. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, if you want to get in. You know, the other thing that, and again, they did win the football game. I thought defensively they were better this week. I did give O'Brien credit for one good decision. But how many times do we have to see him make wholesale changes after week one that should have been made before the start of the first game? There's a reason they start slow every year. So you had two new starters on your offensive line. Why weren't that? Well, I guess Howard, you could say, was hurt last week, but why was Johnson not starting over Henderson?
I don't know.
I'm asking you because you have all the answers.
Well, you asked me, and I said that Johnson should have been starting from week one.
I know. I was trying to give you a little credit there.
Yeah.
I was trying to set you up for, you know, to kind of.
Oh, you were trying to set me up for I told you so on Bill O'Brien? You think he cares?
Yeah. No, he doesn't care, but I'm pretty sure the fans who listened last week are like, yeah. Guess what? He looked a hell of a lot better than Henderson.
Yes, still I said before week one that Rod Johnson is a much better player than Chantrell Henderson, and I have no idea why Chantrell Henderson is even being looked at as a possible starter for week one. Bill O'Brien, I told you so. Told you he's better. Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And you got Titus Howard in there, who was a mixed bag. I mean, he had that bad penalty on the third down. He had a couple of missed blocks, but he also looked good at times.
You know what?
Especially running the football.
I'll say something nice about the Texans. I actually think the offensive line looked pretty decent. I mean, I don't think we should go too crazy just yet, but
right.
That was, I mean, you co- game to game, that was a massive improvement. And, I mean, the sack numbers were down to four, but I mean, two of those were really, like one of them was like basically a stop for no gain.
Yeah.
And so, and the other one was like, when Deshaun fumbled and he picked it up, those are shady sacks.
That really wasn't a sack. That was just a fumble.
But I don't know why it's credited as a sack.
Yeah. So
but either way, I guess he gets on the ball and they touch him down. I guess that's what it is. Yeah. But so basically two real sacks in my mind. That's a big improvement. And Deshaun was still holding on to the ball a little longer than you like, but and he took some shots. But I'd say it was a big improvement from week to week.
Yeah, well, and I think the potential's there to get better. Tunsil's only going to get better as he learns. Because they missed some blitzes. And yeah, I think there were two legitimate sacks, and both times it was just they didn't communicate very well about who was supposed to pick up the blitzer. And part of that is, you know, the quarterback's supposed to notice that, the center's supposed to notice that.
Well, when that many people are blitzing, it's Deshaun. Like when there's more people than more blitzers than blockers, that's Deshaun. That's his job, and he didn't do great at it. And that's something that he's going to have to improve at as you know as he progresses. That's something that you want to see improvement with. Is him handling the blitz better.
And that's always the last thing, I think, for a quarterback to develop is the ability to pick up the blitz and see who's coming from where. That's why you don't blitz Brady, because he'll kill you.
Yeah.
But
well, and the problem, I mean, Brady, when you talk about guys who get the ball out the fastest, I mean, that's the guy that you kind of throw out there.
Yeah.
Although last year, Tom Brady wasn't great against a blitz either.
No. No.
But historically,
most years, yeah. Been. Yeah. 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, when we come back, we'll take a look at the rest of the league, because it was an exciting afternoon yesterday with a lot of interesting games and a lot of really crap games.
Yeah.
Just kind of your standard mixed bag. But now, usually, and for those of you who are new, on a Monday, the first hour is usually pretty much all Texans, and then second hour we get into the rest of the league, and then third hour we just take it wherever it goes. So,
right now I'm going to take you to Triangle Energy. Simple, honest electricity, that's what Triangle is all about, and when it's super hot outside, you can be cool and comfortable inside while enjoying a low electricity rate from Triangle. Guys, stop worrying about your provider. Start saving with Triangle. Stop worrying that there's going to be some sort of hidden gimmick fee on your bill or something. You don't get that with Triangle. You just get top-of-the-line energy plans, and they're going to let you lock in your rate for 12, 24, or 36 months. You avoid the rate hike. Lock it in now. Nothing to worry about. And they keep it simple. The rate you see, that's the rate you pay, period. No gimmicks, no minimum usage fees, no charges for going over a certain amount of electricity. It is what it is, as they say. And if you're a Dynamo fan, you sign up for the Power to Win plan, you get two Dynamo tickets, two t-shirts, and a chance to win free electricity for a year every time the Dynamo win a home game. Guys, this is the kind of company that you want to work with, something that you know what you're going to get from. 877-93-EAGLE or go to TryEagleEnergy.com. Use promo code ESPN for an additional discount. That's 877-93-EAGLE, TryEagleEnergy.com, promo code ESPN.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. Mate,